Hi everyone, I'm Jason Scorce and welcome to another episode of Dispatch from the Zombie Apocalypse. I hope everybody is doing great. So today is going to be a little different. You know, I've been banging the drums on the anti-fascist, anti-MAGA, anti-traitor Trump stuff for many months and will continue. And in fact, this episode at the end will circle back to that theme a little. But the title here is How History Should Be Taught. And this might seem a little kind of, again, adjacent or off topic, but I think, you know, if you, you know, listen for the next 15, 20 minutes, you might see something of merit here. So let me lay this out. The first is, you know, I was a middle school social science teacher for a minute, for, you know, about 5 years. It was a good experience. I wasn't that great of a teacher, I'm going to be honest. And I think I did right by the kids that I taught, but not as well as I could have done. You know, my heart wasn't fully in it. I was just kind of figuring out what to do in life, and teachers were in short supply, so it was something I could do, and I'm reasonably good with kids. So again, did an okay job, but not great. And any of kids out there who, you know, were in my class, I hope you're doing well, and I hope I didn't waste your time. But while I was doing that, I realized just how weak the whole, you know, my whole education in it was. And then I thought about social science, particularly history. You know, social science is obviously more than history, but history was just so bad. I mean, I look back at, you know, 10 years plus of education history, and I barely remember a damn thing from like 10 years. And I went to really good public schools. You know, I still teach social science at the college level, but it's more from kind of an economics and policy, behavior design element. I'm not really teaching much history, although, of course, I go into, you know, some environmental history in over the last 50 years, but nothing, you know, nothing like I'm going to talk about today. So, you know, just kind of going back to my own experience, I always thought of all the subjects I learned in public school, just in my pre-collegiate education, history was the worst subject by far. The most boring. I just never saw the point. Just this chronological order of this person did this and this king did this and they ate this and they prayed to this god. And even in college, I'm going to be honest, maybe, you know, I was at UC Santa Cruz, I was in Berkeley, you know, good schools, and I took a couple history classes and they were really fucking horrible. So maybe I just got unlucky, and maybe some of you out there had great history teachers, you know, and I'd love to hear about that. But just history was really, really bad. And, you know, again, it was so bad because it was just so boring and pedantic. Lots of names and dates. And the thing that I'm going to kind of speak to today is there was almost no attention paid to the larger, grand themes of history, right? And this is a travesty, given that we're one of the first generations of humans that can look over the expanse of both human and ecological, geological history and compare and see trends and patterns and larger lessons. And let me just zero in on this for a minute, right? Because again, this is important. There's a lot that we are firsts of, right? We're firsts of being able to see the Earth from space, to put, you know, to go explore space, to have satellites and track weather. There's a, you know, there's dozens and dozens, hundreds of things that we in this day and age are unique in all of human history. But also just our ability to look at history. Think about it. If you were in ancient Egypt, you know, you knew about other peoples and there was probably some oral or written history, but nothing like what we have today to understand the full scope of everything across the world. Right? And, you know, this level of detail is just an incredible blessing, right? And so to treat tens of thousand years of human history as this kind of chronological order list of things that we should just, you know, recite that are largely isolated in kind of microcosms is just such a colossal fucking waste of time. It actually leads to much worse citizens with much worse critical thinking skills, which, by the way, is probably why history is taught like this. You know, I'm not into conspiratorial thinking, and I don't think you have to think that way to just recognize that the modern educational system, as currently constructed, not every school, not every teacher, not every school district, but it does basically its job of producing more worker bees for the capitalist machine than civic-minded, wise people who will question authority, promote justice, and true sustainability. So again, on the margins, there's some great stuff in education, both at the kindergarten and all the way up to high school and college and graduate school. But the system, the way it was built and designed, was kind of more, you know, to serve the interests of the capitalist owner class, to produce the workers for them, right? So then you throw in all the bullshit propaganda thrown in public education curriculums. Whether it's from the right, which most of it, of course, is all this fake patriotism bullshit and all this, like, you know, slavery was good for black people. It taught them skills, you know, all this fucking nonsense. But also some from the left, too. You know, some from the left that just everything in America is horrible and every, you know, it's always white people who are horrible and black and brown people are always the victims. Like, and, you know, that's bullshit, too. So most of the propaganda in history and in educational curriculums comes from the right, but not all of it. The left is guilty as well. And all of this oftentimes makes me just want to homeschool my kid. You know, I have a daughter who's almost three, and, you know, she's a few years away from obviously learning history, but I just go, fuck, I don't want her to learn all this crap. You know, what a waste of time. Right, and again, I want to point out, maybe I'm wrong about some of this, and there are some schools somewhere in the United States doing what I'm going to lay out here and advocate for, but I've never heard of them. So if you know of any, from direct experience, from your own education, or just from hearing about it or reading about it, please email me and let me know, because I would love to hear that. So I'm going to come back after the break with my proposal for how history should be taught, with some examples.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Okay, so the way I want to frame this discussion is, again, back to the big themes of history, right? And I think the way schools should teach history is that there should be one question for every year that the whole history curriculum revolves around, starting somewhere between 6th and 8th grade, probably on the earlier side, because I tend to think young people can handle weighty, big topics. You know, we can push them intellectually. And so 6th grade, but 7th, 8th, somewhere in that. So given that, you know, we're going through 12th grade here, that's about 5 to 7 years of this model that I'm recommending. So that means 5 to 7 big overarching questions that you would spend the whole year on, right? And before 6th grade, just let me note, I don't think history should be taught at all, but just expose children to different healthy, positive aspects of global culture, but no history in any formal sense. Turn them on to food and music and art and fairy tales and stories, you know, and architecture and just cool stuff from around the world and throughout time, modern stuff, ancient stuff, but don't teach history. Then you get to 6th, 7th, 8th grade and you begin. And what are some examples of these overarching questions? And these are in no particular order. Why do empires fall? Wow, like, why, you know? Because we think of it like America. America's going to exist forever. No, it's not. Nothing exists forever. No country, no empire, no nation, no tribe. Why do they fall? What happens? How come something that exists for hundreds, thousands of years, apex of power, how does everything eventually end up falling? What type of techniques do the wealthy, powerful, and privileged use to stay in power and maintain their wealth? What type, different types of belief systems and value systems have animated human civilization? What roles have the arts played throughout history? How have relationships between men and women evolved and changed over time? How have humans viewed nature and the non-human world throughout history? So you get the idea here, right? I'm sure there's a dozen others, but those are some weighty ones. Those are heavy questions. And many of these themes are, of course, not entirely discrete. And therefore, some themes might reoccur from one year to the next. For example, belief systems, of course, impact gender relationships. They influence our relationships with non-humans. So these are, you know, none of these topics are discrete. The arts influence and are influenced by the wealthy. So how does that work, right? Think of the material you would have to work with those overarching questions, right? And to try to answer and illuminate these questions over the course of an entire year. Imagine telling students on day one, this year, we're going to look at how humans have viewed nature and the non-human world throughout history, right? How have people viewed plants and trees and animals and, you know, dogs and cats and snakes and whales and everything out there in the world? What's our relationship been with them in different time and space? You know, why do empires fall, right? Why do the most powerful nations and empires eventually collapse? What happens to them, right? You could go back and forth across time. You could start in the modern context and go back 1,000 years, skip around, go from Africa to Asia to North America. You could examine all the similarities and differences, the patterns, things that repeat, the seemingly contradictory eras or worldviews, the victors and the vanquished, right? This is the richest and most consequential tapestry imaginable. And let me just repeat again, it is a tragedy how badly this subject is taught, that it's dry and just boring. Now look, of course, all the questions that I outlined should culminate with reflections on how these topics are playing out in America today. So you would end up that year, is America an empire? How long do you think America will survive? What will ultimately cause the demise of America? Wow, that's heavy. Get some kids to say, you know, America's not going to survive forever. What do you think is going to lead to the end of America? How long do you think America's going to last? That's some heavy shit right there. What techniques do the wealthiest Americans use to perpetuate their status and ensure their children maintain the high level of privilege? That's heavy. What, you think the rich people here aren't doing things that people have done throughout history? They're not consciously trying to perpetuate their high income and their high wealth? What are they doing? How are they doing it in America today? What value systems currently animate American society? And how are they likely to change into the future? Look at the value systems of the old people versus the young. That would be interesting. Ask the young people to go interview their parents and grandparents about gender norms or about the environment. Compare that to their values and their friends. That's heavy stuff. How are our relationships with non-human animals likely to change? And how do you think they should change? That's heavy stuff. You have a cat and a dog. Do you eat pigs and chickens? Do you think we should care about gorillas and whales and ecosystems and forests? Should nature have rights? Right? Of course, this type of curriculum would lead children to question all sorts of things that many parents would find offensive to even be questioned at all. But as long as you did this in an open-ended way, with no predetermined right answer, so the teacher wouldn't tell you what's right, would just say, here, what do you think? Go get some material, talk to people, give me some references, some philosophy, you know, tell me how, you know, write out your theory of change of why you think this is going to happen, right? if you did it in this open-ended way, you could inoculate yourself from both the religious extremists, the fake patriots, and of course, even the extreme social justice warriors. There'd be on some on the left who would be a little uncomfortable with some of this stuff. You know, fuck it. Move forward. We're not telling people what to think. We're just telling them how to think and what to think about to just enlighten themselves, open their mind. In another life, I'd like to be one of the ones to develop this type of curriculum. But I know there are people smarter and more able than me who I hope do it. And again, I hope some of you tell me why it already exists, right? And I would love to find the school or teachers or groups who already do this for my own daughter and maybe another future second child, right? Because this is how you produce powerful minds and change makers, people who can stand for the republic and push the moral envelope. This is an exercise I always do with my students. I say, look back 100 years and look at all the horrible things people did that we can chastise them for. You know, women couldn't vote, keeping women as second-class citizens, being against gays, being against black people, slavery, right? Torturing animals, not even thinking that they had feelings, right? So that's easy. It's easy to look back in time, find dozens of horrible things that our ancestors did. You don't even have to go that far back in time, 20 years. Right? But then the question, the true patriot, the true moral warrior says, what are the things that people are going to look back and criticize me for? What are my blind spots that I can't see that people are going to look back and go, I can't believe those fucking barbarians in the year 2020-24 were doing dot, 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 X, Y, and Z. Because if you can uncover that, then you can unwind it quicker. You can be at the moral vanguard. You can push the moral envelope. That's what we need. We need warriors pushing the moral envelope so that we evolve quicker, right? And there is simply no way I'm going to be able to tolerate my child or future child sitting in some boring history curriculum with textbooks that read like a list of bullet points. Fuck that. Hell no. We can and must do better. So after the break, I'll come back with the antidote.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Okay, so for the antidote today here, you know, I just want to state the reason that I have been very successful at predicting most of the major political trends and events in America over the past 20 years is almost solely because of my knowledge of history. The right-wing lurch into fascism of the GOP has been textbook every step of the way. Everything from the tools they use, to the messages, to the people who enable them, to the compliant press corps, to the inability of people who know better to say that 2 plus 2 equals 4 and stop gaslighting and bullshitting the American public. History is a powerful weapon and inoculant against both propaganda and conspiracy theories. You won't get everything right, but you will see the big picture and understand the true underlying trends and conflicts that are animating the world. They have been largely unchanged for thousands of years, and return again and again and again in different shades and different guises. And so if you can see the big, you know, overarching themes of history, you can be much better situated in the present day to see what's going on and not be a sheep and not be a fool and not be an idiot, but even better, be a leader, be a change maker, be the intellectual warrior that can help steer us in a better direction, which of course is what we need to do this November by defeating the MAGA fascists and re-electing Joe Biden. So with that, everybody, I hope you're enjoying the beginning of the summer. You're getting some good R&R, staying safe. And with that, everybody, be well. Take care.